The third type of marine insurance is a freight insurance. Freight insurance is bought by the shipping company to protect itself against the loss of the freight if the goods are lost or damaged during the transit. And if the vessel's machinery breaks down during the transit, then the payment of freight will not happen until the vessel becomes operational. So these are the important aspects of your freight insurance. And finally, the fourth type of marine insurance is the liability insurance. So my liability insurance helps the ship owner to cover the risk of loss caused by the ship to the docks and harbors or to any third party such as passengers or crew due to the marine perils and fines and penalties imposed on the ship. So especially to cover any fines or penalty, this liability insurance is very important, and hence the cargo insurance, the hull insurance, the freight insurance, liability insurance are very important types of ocean insurance because it covers most of the risk, whether it is to the ship, whether it is to the cargo, whether it is to the freight, or even to such any penalties. So ocean insurance have four classified insurances like your cargo insurance, your hull insurance, your freight insurance, and your liability insurance. Now, what are the risks covered in marine insurance? There can be common inclusions, there can be common exclusions. So let us look at what are the common inclusions. The common inclusions are sinking or stranding of ship, loss due to fire, explosion, battery, damage to goods while lodging or unloading, natural calamities like earthquake, storm, cyclone, flood, tsunami, loss due to collision, hijack, pirates, thieves, jettison. So these are all the common inclusions. There can be more if it is specified in the policy. Now let us look at what are the common exclusions. The common exclusions can be loss due to willful act, poor quality of packaging, loss due to war, strike, riots, natural wear and tear. So this, most of it are understood with common sense that this won't be included in the cover. You have to be excluded, especially the losses due to willful act, natural wear and tear, poor packaging. So these are the common exclusions in the marine insurance policy. Now let us understand which parties can have insurable interest in marine insurance. There are specific parties because when we talk about ocean insurance, even inland insurance, only specific type of people will be connected with this type of insurance. So every person has an insurable interest who is interested in marine adventure. So that is the best way of saying which parties are having insurable interest in marine insurance. The parties, if we want to know specifically which has insurable interest, they can be the ship owner, the cargo owner, master or any member of the crew of the ship, then the lender of money or bottom brig of respondentia, the person advancing the freight, assured who has effected the charges of any insurance. So these are the parties which can have insurable interest in marine insurance. Now let us understand the basic concepts in ocean insurance. Being an insurance contract, most of the common principles would also be applicable in ocean marine insurance. Ocean marine insurance covers the losses due to damage to goods in the vessels at sea. And when we talk about inland marine insurance, then the losses would be basically transportation on the roads. Marine insurance can provide insurance protection right from the time the goods have left the warehouse of the shipper until they reach the warehouse of the consignee. So marine insurance has clear provision as to the cover would be from which place to which place. It would be right from the time the goods leave the warehouse of the shipper until they reach the warehouse of the consignee. And this has to be specifically mentioned in the marine insurance policy. Now there can be different types of loss in marine insurance, especially in ocean marine insurance. The loss may be total or partial, and now we have to be very clear as to what is the total loss, what is the partial loss. Based on that, the claim could be lodged by the insured with the insurance company. A total loss can be further subcategorized into actual total loss or constructive total loss. The total loss happens when the insured goods are damaged or destroyed, or the assured is deprived of the goods as described in the insured goods. However, a constructive total loss happens when the insured goods are abandoned because of expenses to be incurred in preserving it exceeds the value of insured goods. So we need to be very clear as to what is the total loss and what is the constructive total loss. Total loss is a pure insurance, like when the insured goods are damaged or destroyed, as or the assured is deprived of the goods as described in the insured goods. However, constructive total loss is sort of contingency, especially when the insured goods are abandoned because of expenses to be incurred in preserving it exceeds the value of the insured goods. In marine insurance, the word average is also referred, and this average is referred to partial loss and may not be covered by the insurer. So when we talk about total loss, constructive loss, this may be covered or this will be covered, whereas generally insurers does not cover the partial loss, and this needs to be borne by the insured itself. The owner of the ship has to bear the partial loss. There is something called general average clause and sue and labor clause. So what do you mean by general average clause and sue and labor clause? A general average clause is suffered for the common intention of all the parties and hence is shared by all the parties to the voyage. The insurer excludes his liability under the free of particular average clause, which is popularly known as FEA. So the general average clause is suffered for the common intention of all the parties, and hence all the parties decide to share such losses whenever there is a voyage. The insured excludes his liability under a very popular clause, which we call it as average clause or free of particular average clause, popularly known as FPA. Now let us understand the sue and labor clause. There is a specific provision under sue and labor clause. Under the sue and labor clause, the insured is required to take reasonable steps to preserve and protect the goods. So there is an obligation on the insured to take reasonable steps to preserve and protect the goods. The insurer may compensate the expenses that are incurred for preserving, protecting, but the act has to be done by the insured to take reasonable steps. And just because there are expenses to be incurred, you don't have to worry, because the insurer may compensate the expenses based on the real need of incurring some expenses, especially for preserving and protecting the goods. So we need to also be very clear on to what is a general average clause and what is a sue and labor clause. Now, what happens when a ship is abandoned? When the ship is getting destroyed and may cost more to restore it than it's worth, then such ship is abandoned by the insured by giving a proper notice to the insurer under Section 62 of Marine Insurance Act 1963. So once the insurer is also notified, and if the state of the ship is in such a way that it is getting destroyed to such an extent that the restoration cost will be more than what it's worth, then in such a situation, the insured has to intimate to the insurer about such abandonment, and that is how the insured will fulfill Section 62 of the Marine Insurance Act 1963. In such cases, the insured can get full value of the insured ship, and the salvage is retained by the insurer. So as far as the compensation is concerned, compensation for the ship, for the cargo, as for the marine insurance, the insured will get the insurance. However, in such scenario, when the ship is abandoned, the salvage value will be retained by the insurer. Now, a next important aspect of marine insurance is warranties. A warranty is a promise or undertaking made by the insured to do or not to do some act, to fulfill or not to fulfill some condition, to affirm or negate the existence of a particular state of facts. If the insured does not comply with the promise, undertaking, conditions, etc., which are clearly mentioned into the marine insurance policy, then the insurer is discharged from the liability from the date of breach of warranty. So that is why the insurer has to clearly mention these warranties, and since it is brought to the notice of the insured, it becomes the obligation of the insured to fulfill the promise, to do the act or not to do the act, to fulfill or not to fulfill certain condition, to affirm or negate the existence of a particular set of facts. And if he doesn't do that, then we amount to the breach of warranty. And in such scenario, the insurer will straight away reject the claim. And the reason is the insured has not complied with the warranties. A breach of warranty may be waived by an insurer in certain situations, especially when compliance to the warranty may be against the law or by reason of changes of circumstances. So that purely depends upon the insurer to actually waive such breach of warranty or not, and that too under specific condition situations only. Otherwise, if the breach of warranty happens, insurer will be actually declining the claim. There can be two types of warranty, express warranty and implied warranty. An express warranty is in the form of words written upon the policy or in some documents incorporated by reference to the policy, whereas an implied warranty can be in the form of preliminary conditions to be complied for a valid marine insurance contract. So based on whatever types of warranties, it becomes the duty of the insured to comply with both types of warranties. What is the procedure for filing claim of marine insurance? The first and the important step that has to be taken by the insured is he should intimate the insurer about the loss or damage of goods insured under the marine insurance policy. The next step would be insured should take all reasonable steps to preserve and protect the goods to minimize the loss. So both these first steps are very important. The intimation has to go, and simultaneously the reasonable steps has to be taken to preserve and protect the goods. The goods needs to be surveyed by the ship surveyor at the time of taking delivery to assess the loss to be damaged. So here again, the surveyor's report becomes very important for filing the claim. Then the insured should lodge the claim to the insurer for the missing goods also, and the insured should submit all the required documents to the insurer along with the claim form. So this makes this process a complete process. What are the documents required for filing claim of marine insurance? The original insurance policy, the original invoice and packing list, which clearly brings about the quantity and description of the goods, the bill of lading, especially when the ships are loaded on the ship for transport, evidencing loading of goods, the surveyor's report giving an estimate of the loss or damage that has happened, the photographs of the damaged goods, which can serve as an evidence of the loss, as well as the copies of correspondence with the insurer, the insured had it. The rights of insurer on payments. When insurer makes a payment, definitely he will have a right of subrogation. As we have seen, the principles that are applicable in life insurance would also be applicable in case of general insurance. So when the insurer makes a payment of the loss or the damage or compensation for that, he gets the right of subrogation and contribution on payments made to the insured. Where the insurer pays for the total loss, the insurer becomes entitled to the takeover of the interest of the insured under right of subrogation. So both rights of subrogation and contribution are applicable, and insurer can take help of these principles, especially when he makes a payment of compensation to the insured. Where the insured is over insured by double insurance, then each insurer will have to contribute ratably to the loss in proportion to the amount for which he is liable under the insurance. There is no way the insured can make profit out of it just because of double insurance. Only up to the value of asset the loss would be compensated. If the insured is underinsured, then this is a danger. Then the insured will have to bear the loss for the underinsured, and hence it is always suggested that insurance has to be bought for the full value, neither more neither less, because if it is more, you are not going to get access, but it is less, you'll have to bear it from the pocket. And that's why the policies of insurance as far as the payment of claim to the insured are very clear. Now, having understood ocean marine insurance, now let us look at inland marine insurance. First of all, what is inland marine insurance? Inland marine insurance covers goods that are transported over land through rail or road. unlike the ocean marine insurance, wherein the cover is provided for goods transported over the sea or ocean. So inland marine insurance specifically covers goods that are transported over land through rail or road. Inland marine insurance emerged as a branch out of ocean marine insurance, because when the goods are brought from sea and transported on the land, then more insurance was required when they were transported through rail or goods, and businesses flourished and emerged. So more and more demand from such exporters and importers arise, and that's where the insurance company took a note of it, and they introduced the inland marine insurance. And when businesses flourished and there emerged a new need to get protection while transporting goods from ports to the destination of the importer through trucks, trains, packages and buses, the inland marine insurance became more useful. The need was specifically felt for specifically specialized goods, especially the computer equipment which has to be transported under required conditions in a particular manner, construction equipments, medical diagnostic equipments, fine arts, solar panels, wind turbines, cameras, movie equipments, musical instruments. These instruments are so delicate and they are packaged in a very special way, and they have to be transported, they have to be carried in a particular way. Any change in the normal requirements can result into damage of such instruments. First of all, they are packaged in such a very effective manner. The packaging is just not enough if the transportation is not good enough. And in spite of the good transportation, if there is any damage or loss, then the question arises whether the insurance would cover. And for that reason, this inland marine insurance came to the picture, especially for specialized goods such as computer equipments, construction equipments, medical diagnostic equipments, fine arts, solar panels, wind turbines, cameras, as well as movie equipments and musical instruments. There are new types of risk emerged under inland marine insurance, and we can specifically categorize them into the Bailey's customer coverage, the builder's risk, exhibition and fine art coverage, installation floater. Let us look at this one by one. The Bailey's customer coverage is to protect against the damage to the importer's property. The builder's risk is to protect damage to structures and materials used by the builders. The exhibition and fine art coverage is to protect the artwork on display. And the installation floater is to protect against damage to goods while loading and unloading and putting to use. So you will note these are the specific requirements for specific type of the assets that are transported over land. And if there is any damage during this process, there comes the requirements of the marine insurance, especially the inland marine insurance. Major trucks cargo coverage is also one type of the risk that has emerged, under which this major motor truck cargo coverage is to protect goods while transporting with vehicles on the road. So inland marine insurance became very useful for businesses to minimize the loss when the specialized goods are transported on land through the truck, rail, barges, or even the buses. Businesses have the option to cover the high value items in inland marine insurance and can be bought at an add-on insurance to existing general insurance. So it's a sort of complete coverage right from the goods that are transported from the shipper's destination till the goods are reaching to the importer's destination. If there is any loss, any risk that comes into the picture, insurance company will ensure that any loss or damage would be covered under such insurance policy. However, there can be basic cover, and if you require some additional coverage, then you also have to buy an add-on cover on this insurance policy. A marine insurance policy has to comply with requirements under Marine Insurance Act 1963 in order to be accepted as an evidence, because this is a very important piece of legislation, especially for marine insurance. And only if you comply with the requirements mentioned under Marine Insurance Act 1963, then it could be accepted as an evidence in the form of a legal insurance contract. A contract of marine insurance is deemed to be concluded when the proposal of the insured is accepted by the insurer. A contract of marine insurance needs to be embodied in the marine insurance policy as per the provisions of the Marine Insurance Act 1963. So this Marine Insurance Act 1963 becomes a very important legislation, especially for marine insurance policy. Now, marine insurance policy must specify certain provisions, as we have seen in life insurance. The name of the assured or some person who effects the insurance on this behalf, the subject matter insured and the risk insured against, the voyage or period of time or both as the case may be covered by the insurance, the sum or sums insured, the name or names of the insurer or the insurers. A marine insurance policy must be signed by or on behalf of the insurer, and the subject matter must be designated with reasonable certainty in the marine insurance policy. So this brings in more clarity, not only about the name, not only about the subject matter, not only about the voyage, the period of time, not only of the sum insured, the names of the insurers, but it brings clarity on all aspects of marine insurance policy, so that both the insured as well as the insurer are clear as to what that legal contract is about. There can be different types of marine insurance policies, like the voyage policy, annual policy, the valued policy, the floating policy, the blanket policy, the named policy, the special declaration policy, the Indian coastal ports policy, the inland vessel policy, the free onboard policy, the marine cum erection policy. Let us look at this each policy one by one. Let us first look at the voyage policy. Voyage policy is issued to insure the cargo that is transported from one place to another. The policy covers the risk to the cargo originating from the port of departure till the destination. So purely for covering the voyage, this policy is very useful. It covers all the in-between risk as well as risk when the ship halts at the intermediate ports. When such a policy is issued for a definite period of time, then such policies are called as voyage and time policy. Now let us look at what is an annual policy. An annual insurance policy is preferred when the insured is sure about dispatch of goods throughout the year. So this big period is going to give a rise to the annual policy. In such a case, the insured collects an advance premium and based on the shipment adjusts it against the voyages done at the end of the year. So this is specifically useful when the insured is sure about dispatch of goods throughout the year. Then comes the valued policy. Marine insurance policy needs to specify the value of loss to be compensated. And when the value of loss is fixed and remains same throughout the term of the policy, then such policies are called as valued policy. So it becomes very easy to ascertain up to what value the insurance policy is going to cover the risk. An unvalued policy does not specify the value of loss, and in such cases, the insurer value is subsequently ascertained. So here there is no certainty as to what amount will be actually compensated or the claim would be settled in case of unvalued policy. However, valued policy gives a certain finite picture about the value of the asset that is covered. Then comes the floating policy. Floating marine insurance policy are preferred by large exporters who want to buy marine insurance for a round large sum to cover all the shipments during the year. However, this value of goods may keep on changing. In floating insurance policy, the general terms are incorporated, but the name or names of the ship or ships and other particulars are defined in subsequent declaration after the dispatch of shipments. So in case of floating policy, the declarations made subsequently are very important for ascertaining the value. Floating marine insurance policy are preferred by large exporters who want to buy for a marine insurance for a round large sum to cover all the shipments. So that is the advantage in case of a floating policy. All the consignment made in terms of the policy and the value of such consignment has to be honestly stated in the declaration, because here the principle of utmost good faith comes into the picture. Such type of arrangement is also called as an open cover, in which the insured agrees to declare the shipment and the insurer agrees to cover the risk for all the shipments made in terms of the agreement. Next, we cover the blanket policy. Blanket marine insurance policy is issued for a certain amount and the premium has to be paid for an entire sum assured to cover the risk within that particular time and place. The insurer will have to return the excess premium after adjusting the actual premium. So blanket insurance policy is issued for a certain amount and the premium has to be paid for the entire sum assured to cover the risk. However, the insurer will have to return the excess after adjusting the actual premium. And if the shipping are more than the predetermined estimate, then insured will have to pay the additional premium. So this adjustment can always be done based on the actual shipments that are made. Next, we come to the named policy. In a named marine insurance policy, the name of the ship has to be mentioned along with the description of the insured cargo. So naming is very important in case of a named policy. In case of a special declaration policy, marine insurance is issued to exporters who have a large turnover of shipments. And in this case, the insured will have to make declarations similar to the floating policy. We have a special type of policy, the Indian Coast Ports Policy. The Indian Coast Ports Marine Insurance Policy is specifically meant for covering risk in transport of cargo, sea or ocean with self-propelled vessels of iron or steel. So whenever it's self-propelled vessels of iron and steel, the Indian Coast Port Policy becomes very useful. Then the Inland Vessel Policy. Inland Vessel Marine Insurance Policy are issued for transport of cargo on rivers and canals. So you are understanding this point that different types of policies are based on different types of requirements. Like if there is a transport of cargo on rivers and canals, Inland Vessel Policy is very useful. Next, we have the free onboard policy. A free onboard marine insurance policy is also called a buyer's policy, as the importer wants to cover the risk in transport of cargo right from the exporter's warehouse to the importer's warehouse. So specific type of requirement, a specific type of policy in the form of free onboard policy. Next, we have the marine cum erection policy. In marine cum erection policy, in addition to the marine risk, other risks are also covered, such as the storage risk, the erection risk, the testing risk, and that's how this requirement of storage, erection, and testing along with marine insurance, that becomes the usefulness of buying a marine cum insurance, marine cum erection policy. So you come to know different types of marine insurance policy, and based on the requirements, the insured can actually buy on some basic cover or even on add-on covers. So that facilitation happens with marine insurance, especially when the goods are transported in ocean or even on the land. So a complete coverage under marine insurance policy is a very important aspect and a special type of general insurance. So with this, we complete marine insurance in this chapter. The next type of insurance, especially fire, motor, and miscellaneous, we'll cover in the next chapter. Thank you very much.